You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah and chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are, God, thank you for a measure of health to even be here. So God, help us in every way and make up the difference to all those that are unable to be here. And our God, we're going to thank you very much, even now. Spirit of God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Now, in our exercise of the first epistle of John, and the Spirit of God in 1 John is trying to help us understand the benefits of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, to exercise a relationship to him, to be enjoyed, experienced, and outworked. So, and in 1 John, there is an awesome enemy, that's our old nature, that doesn't want to see that happen. And the world system that we live in doesn't want to see that happen. And the world system loves darkness rather than light. And the world system is against light. It's against God. Now, having said that, and we are not, 1 John 2 and 15, we're not to love the world. The love of the world keeps us from the love of God. So the world system is what it is and how it is. So, having said that, and the world system is against Christ. So when we did 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, etc., the opposition of humans is very outward. Not just are they unsaved, loving darkness rather than light, but the spirit of Antichrist, against God becoming man. That's what it is. God cannot become man, not become like us. Now, and therefore, that's where we've been going and looking. So now, having said that, going back, since it's the big picture with lots of stuff in it, to understand, because we live in it, but we don't understand the world. In other words, here's all of the laws of science, all of everything going on, the technology, the global system, all the phone system, everything, 1,000 things happening in 1,000 ways, 1,000,000 things happening in 1,000,000 ways, 10,000,000 ways. That's a minor. 10 million, all at once. We don't even know about it. We don't even control it. It's just all there, all going on. So God, help us a little bit to get a glimpse of what you're trying to say. So, going back and reminding us, A, looking at it from God's position, from God's where he is. Hey, what about God? God, what are you going to do? He's God alone. There is no other God. There is no other Savior. God, in his marvelous grace, for his glory and honor, created, planned, in his plan, created, would create us humans. All humans, Christ would die for them, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. So in the mind of God, in the heart of God, it's all about what God has in mind, in himself, including and involving us humans. Now, it's all centered in God. All centered in God, being born in Bethlehem of Judea. All of it is there. It's all about God being God and doing something wonderful to be able to take us created in his image and likeness and to bring us into a unique relationship to God. What about that? Now, that's the centerpiece. Anti-Semitism is against that. Darkness of the world is against that. Now, hang on, he's the Lamb of God. All of it before the foundation of the world. And just to remind us, Isaiah 7, and remember in verse 14. Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, but God's going to have born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's an awesome thing. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, born in Bethlehem of Judea. God. Over chapter 9 of Isaiah. In chapter 9 of Isaiah, going to verse 6, as you know. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the man, God the Son, becoming in the incarnation, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. What's his name called? He's wonderful. Counselor. He's the mighty God, underline in your mind. The everlasting Father, underline in your mind. The Prince of Peace, etc. Of his increase, of his government, and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to do it in his most wonderful way. So God, in your awesome person, it's all about you becoming a baby. It's all about you going to the cross and rising again and being Lord of lords and King of kings. It's all about you. Over to Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, reminding ourselves of what we just read. Picking up, if I may, chapter 1, Matthew, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. You're going to save them. Jesus, the Savior. I'm the only God and only Savior. All about that. And again, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. The baby, born of Bethlehem, Judea. He's a Savior. He's called Emmanuel. God with us, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. That's what he is in his most wonderful, wonderful way. So, and they're going to call his name. So now, and we read together in 1 John, as you know, and the Word became flesh, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and what? And God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's full of grace and full of truth. Now, God, so far, it's all about you. All about you. In what kind of way you're going to become like us? You're going to become like us. Ha ha ha. Genesis 1, 26, 27. We're made in the image and likeness of God. God made us not like a kangaroo and not like a rabbit. God made us so when he looks at a kangaroo, he sees a kangaroo. When he looks at you, he wants to find himself. He made you to be able to find his home in your heart. That's what he did. He made you special. How did he make you special? He was, before the foundation of the world, he died for everybody. Everybody. You can't be born physically and be lost in that sense. Christ died. There's not limited atonement. Christ died. He had to die. In Adam, if you were born out of Adam, he had to die for you. The only way you could be exempt is somehow you got here on earth apart from Adam. You had to come by way of Adam. And when he died for Adam, he died for everyone in Adam. There's no way around it. And God says so. Now, here's a propitiation, satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, what are we doing then? God, you're awesome. How are we going to get around this? We love darkness rather than light, our world system. We want to keep light out, as we shared in Sunday school. We want to keep light out. I can't. Religion, no problem. No problem, religion. And even as you'll see it again, and maybe in Christendom, no problem. It's when you present Christ in you. That's the problem. You want the problem. You got an old nature like everybody else. We do. It's God. God in you. That's the problem. And that's the message of the cross. God is showing his grace, as we're going to do now, just not jumping too much ahead. God, what are you going to do? The system hates light, and it cannot tolerate Christ. As God, no problem. God as a man, that's a problem. Not God. Devil doesn't have a problem with God. James, the demons believe in God. They don't have, there's no way to get around God. But for God to be a man, and its message what? That God has an awesome plan for the human heart. God created us for a heavenly, holy, happy relationship to himself. And darkness doesn't understand that, like we shared. Adam and Eve, as we did in Sunday school, Adam and Eve went from light and life. In a day they sinned, ate of the tree of the knowledge, they lost the relationship to God. And thus they understood God. And they understood that when God was missing, they hid behind the tree, covered with fig leaf. They hid. Why did they hide? They knew everything that they could see. Same garden, but they saw and enjoyed God in a super duper way. And it was gone. And like we said, it took him about 10 minutes to get saved. Genesis 3:15, believe, God sent his son, the seed of a woman. And then they covered themselves. God provided a coat of skin. They didn't have to argue. They didn't do anything. They knew without any question at all, boy, do we need to get saved. And then Cain and Abel come along, and they never had that advantage. And as we shared, neither did you. We have never known. But all we've known is death, spiritual death, and no light. No life, no light. So when we, us humans, I love darkness. We're used to darkness. I don't want to get into that all again. Do you understand that? Now, so the darkness, anti-Semitism, anti-Christ, that's why it's there. We can't afford to honor and let us understand that God in Christ wants to be in you. That is can't do that. Thus, if I can, over to Matthew. Excuse me, John. John, if you can. And again, in John 5, John 5 and 18. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill our Lord. Why? Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God with his Father was his Father, making himself equal with God. Thus our Lord Jesus said, verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. In other words, the Son represents the Father. He's God. You can't, Jesus, his works and ways, scroll the way over if I can, in chapter, you know, chapter 6, and in the process, they said not, chapter 6, picking up, if I may, in verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man, and you have the background to that, verse 40, 41, 42, how can this man, verse 52, give us flesh to eat? And what he was saying to them, verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And now that they're following him. He feeds them and everything. They heal them. Yeah, they like it. And in chapter 6, back over to verse 15. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, he made him, and to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. They want to make him king. They want him everything. They want everything that he is. But, we want a man. We want someone that can do all of these things for us. There's no question. We want it. The world's looking for a man. But, not on your terms. Chapter 6, God. And here's the disciples, here they are with him. Here's Peter, James, and John, and the rest of them, the pile of them. Here they are. But what happened? You know, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They didn't want to walk with him. Didn't want to go with him. Why? But, John 2, 1 John 2:19. And they went out from among us because they were not of us. Now, where do they get in? They get in the system. They want the system. And you remember we shared together, they see his signs and his wonders, and they want the wonderful things that he can do. But they want it on their terms. But God didn't become a man to feed them and give miracles. He became a man to have the human heart find fulfillment in becoming like him, to be able to enjoy God, to be able to magnify God, to honor God, for God to find his home in their heart. That's what it's about. But darkness doesn't see that, doesn't want that. And therefore, we cannot have this man reign over us. John chapter 6, if you're still there, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Ah, where are we going to go? There is nowhere to go. There is nowhere. There is no other place to go. No, God. Chapter 10. As you know, we do it often to remind us. Chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 33 directly. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, you make yourself God. God cannot be a man. God cannot be a man. It's not God is God. We don't have argument with that. No argument. But for God to be a man. What's wrong with being a man? Because if God became a man, he means us to be saved. He means us to know him. That's why he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, to be able to know him. And if God, if we honor God as a man, we've got to understand our relationship to God is needful. We've got to believe. We've got to understand he died for us and bore our sin in his own body in the tree. We've got to do that. If I receive him as a man, then I'm in trouble because I have to change. I have to think of him differently and understand my humanity, my existence on earth in a heavenly way, not an earthly way. I need to understand why I'm here in the first place. And that doesn't fit the world system. Now, hang on, picking up, if I may, in the process, Hebrews. And again, just reminding us, Hebrews, and in chapter 2. And you will note, what did the Lord Jesus do that's so offensive? He took on, chapter 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children of partakers of flesh and blood were all born from Adam, flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood born in Bethlehem, Judea. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, the awesome power of death. Power, the might, the ability. Satan has it. What does he do with it, as we shared, verse 15? And deliver them through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And again, going back to Sunday school, I hate to go back there, but remember, Sunday school, death. Death is what? That we're born dead in sin. It's our normal life. We have no idea what life is. We have no idea what light is. We don't know what it is to know God. Our whole world is telling us by creation, Romans chapter 1, plus God, when we were little, God let us know. Mother, father didn't do it. God did it so that we'd know that God is God. But we left that. We didn't go along. We didn't think it through because the world system doesn't, which we're part of. And we get caught up and we push God aside. We lose God. We don't think God isn't a Buddha, God isn't a kangaroo, etc. And we know that. But pretty soon we're honoring Buddha. And pretty soon, we're worshiping kangaroos. That's what happens to us. We get caught up in the system. The system can't afford to have light when it loves darkness. And it's in a state of death. And the devil keeps us in it. And like we shared, that's the last thing you want to think about. You avoid it with all effort. Don't even understand. You don't even have to think about it. You just avoid death. Because it's natural to do so. And your old nature doesn't want to do that. The wages of sin is death. They don't want to think about it. We're in bondage. And the devil holds us. Because as long as we're avoiding death, how are we going to get to life? I have to understand the darkness so that I need light. I need life. I need it from God. But I don't want to think about it. So therefore, God, what are you going to do? You're going to keep me. The devil's going to go. The system's going to go. It loves darkness. The power of the devil, the system, doesn't include God. His saving grace, it doesn't include it. Religion up to here, but not God. Not God. Anti-Semitism, anti-Christ, everywhere. And that's what God is trying to tell you. You've got to understand what you're up against. I want you to grow and to know and enjoy who I am and what I am to you, your God and your Savior. But everything in you, around you, is against it. You understand? It will not allow me to present myself in Christ. It won't allow me to do so. I want to do so. John and chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, as you would guess, so Satan's system is to hold us in bondage, to hold us in its power. And therefore, John chapter 14, picking up, if I may, as you would know, chapter 14, in verse, sliding if I can, I'll do verse 6 just to see it. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. You have to come by way of me. I have to become a man so that you can be saved. I made you in my image and likeness, but you need to be saved. You need to have forgiveness. You need to have to be justified. You need to be right. Verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices of that. That'd be wonderful, said Philip. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. They're looking at him. The same one who has been with him 3 1/3 years. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father, John 10:30. I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you cannot become a man. God cannot become a man. Why? Because his whole purpose, it's all about God bringing us to himself to enjoy our Creator and Savior, and to fulfill the wonderful purpose of God for us being alive in the first place. And God, we can't have that, said the system. The system doesn't want that. And therefore, Antichrist, anything and everything to take away religion up to here. 85,000 different churches, I'm exaggerating, and religions. Oh, we got them. We got them as we've been sharing. Right. So who knows which is right? Is you right? How can this one be right and this one be right when you don't even agree on the Son of God? We're against the millennium. We're against Christ. He didn't really die. He didn't really die. He just, it's a wonderful truth. I had him. Dear Methodist ministers, tell me directly. He said, well, we don't believe like that. Then how can you be saved? You can't be saved. You can't be saved. And here we get all the, line them all up. Here's the system of everything. And we got all kinds of things we believe. I don't believe like you do. Well, what do you believe? I believe what I do. That's right. That's right. How do you want to understand it? Because what think of conversations with people or what they hear. You hear a lecture on something and whatever it is, and then you someone asks you a question. Well, he said this, and he meant this. But he never did. It's what you think he said. It's you heard it, and then you interpreted it and took it and did it what you want with it, how you wanted to understand it based on your background and everything, and you twisted it to something else. And so we're talking about, oh, yeah, I was there. I heard him on the Sermon on the Mount. Wonderful. And then you say things that he never said. He never meant that. And people are all over the place with what, when I've said things. We just said one thing 100 years ago on something we were doing with ham, pork, whatever, and whatever it was. And I forget the whole thing, but the idea was, because the lady told me, the lady went home and threw her ham away. I mentioned ham in a context, and you said to throw the ham away. I never said to throw the ham away. You should have eaten the ham, but you went and threw the ham away because I mentioned an illustration using ham, you see? People do whatever they want. They hear what they want. And they say, Pastor said this. Sure, I never said that. I never said a lot of things people say I said. I never said that. Oh, he said it. I heard him. No, you didn't. The trouble is you heard, but you didn't understand. You see, you already got the idea. Anything and everything to keep you from what? Knowing the truth, to being in the light in a most wonderful way. So therefore, verse 9 again, 14:9, Jesus saith unto them, have I been so long with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou this? Sayest thou then, show us the Father? Wow, believe not that thou I am in the Father, and the Father's in me. If you don't even believe, well, at least pay attention to my works. Watch what I do. No one can do what I do, like Nicodemus, except you be God. Pay attention to that, God said. If you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you, at least see what I do. Pay attention. What am I going to do? I don't want to pay attention. So therefore, Antichrist, I'm going to come along and I'm going to go and take all of that away. So, in the process, love the world. No, I don't want to love the world system. The world system doesn't want me to know. Wants me to know Jesus. Jesus loves me, this I know. And they want all of that. But Jesus cannot be God Almighty. Really? God, a very God. Can't be. But he is. And thus the church is stuck because they are to what? The New Testament church Let me do it a different way coming up. Now, so you see it. So God is against the Antichrist, against God. A movement, the Antichrist movement. 1 John 2 and 18 and that. What's the movement? Well, to go and get rid. You didn't have to do it in the Old Testament. No. You don't find Antichrist in the Old Testament. No. It's against Christ. Everything we said is true in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it pops out of the pages and stands big and like a giant in front of us. God in Christ, the only sign he's going to give in the sign of Jonah, John 12, the sign of Jonah. He's going to go and show an empty cross, an empty tomb, and a heart. And God is going to show an awesome mystery to the world. And that's why Antichrist is so strong. Watch it, work it out. Over, if I can, Colossians. And in Colossians, and in chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, picking up, please, if I may. And you'll note, verse 26, 1:26, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me, for you, to fulfill the word of God. For, even, verse 26, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, no one in the Old Testament, John the Baptist didn't know it, neither did the disciples. The disciples didn't know it till after Pentecost. They didn't know it. Mystery has been hid ages from generations, but now is made manifest, public, clear, plain, to the believing heart, not to the world, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is so marvelous about it? Among you, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God in you, the hope of glory. God in you. He can't be God, because then I would receive him and I would be a home, a temple for God. I don't want to think about him. I don't. Why? My old nature isn't comfortable with God. I'm not comfortable with God, with his. Think of Israel. Why did Israel keep drifting, Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity, where they are today? Why? What did you say, Leviticus 10, Leviticus 11? Be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's, be holy like I am. And that isn't a request. That's a command. Do it. How can it do it? Because God, who is holy, will be in you. And who makes you holy? God in Christ in you. That's why you're holy. 1 Peter 15:16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Because God is holy. And God isn't asking something that's way off our ability. No, he's there to do it. Think of the end of Matthew chapter 5. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Why would you say such an awesome thing? Because God in you, God in you is perfect. And you'll be perfect because he's perfect. You enjoy his perfectness. You enjoy his holiness. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Do you understand? God as being who he is, and anti-Christ. We don't want to have that. To be holy like God. Now, so therefore, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, what's the the anti-Christ spirit over to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, as you know. And 2 Thessalonians, if I may, and you will note, I'm going to go by verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 2, 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or hindereth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, remember we did this. The mystery of iniquity. Iniquity is lawlessness. Lawlessness. What are you going to do? What's lawlessness? At the same time, Christ in you, at the same moment, because you just read it in verse 7. You'll notice in verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. First, you don't have to turn there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. It is the last hour. It is the last time. You're at the last segment before he comes. There is no more after you. You're waiting for the finish. You're in it. Not only are we in it, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're in it because at the same breath, the mystery, that which you never understood, the Antichrist is going to go and present his in the power of the devil. He's going to keep us in a state of mind. To what? To keep us lawless, to be lawless, to be in a mystery of lawlessness, to leave God out of the picture. To leave him out of the picture. For what reason? That the Antichrist is going to come. The person of the Antichrist, the lawlessness of the mood of Antichrist against God, against Christ, is leading us to what? A man, the Antichrist, the lawless one. That's where it's headed. It's, you say it can't, it is. So what's the spirit of it? What are you saying, John? The Antichrist spirit, you're in it. It's the hour. It's the hour of this whole movement. It's an awesome time. John the Baptist didn't have it. We're living in it. The mystery of lawlessness. Now, having said that, the lawless one is already working. So therefore God, since we're looking at that, over if I can. In Timothy. And if I can, 1 Timothy, and in chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and you'll remember verse 15, the local church represents Christ, God in Christ. And you, anyway, 4. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Here we are sitting here, which is the church, the assembly of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Here we sit here. What are we doing? We're sitting here showing the mystery of godliness, showing the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, in the midst of a world that is headed in lawless, in a lawless way, an anti-Christ way, against God way, to the lawless one. And what are we doing sitting here? Well, for without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in Christ, in the world, received up in glory. God, what are we doing? The mystery of godliness. The word godliness is the word well or good and worship. Well, good, worship. Put them together. Godliness. The wholehearted, worthy God. You are worthy. You are worthy of a whole heart. A wholehearted worship of God. That's what we're doing. Why? Because you received him as your glory. Who did you receive? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's God. He's God. But we don't want him to be God. Anything but have him to be God. Anything. All kinds of ways. He was born, but he really didn't have a body. All kinds of ways. His birth, his miracles, everything about him. Anything about him. We take it away from him. Gnosticism, knowledge, you know, coming in to do what they did. Yeah, the people that knew, the Greeks. And you would join up. Why not? It's a new organization. Judas was there. He never got saved because he thought it was a great thing. If Christ became a king, he'd have a high position. People joined the church. They didn't in the beginning. They did in the beginning. No, they didn't. No. God, Acts 2, without turning there, God added to the church, Acts chapter 2, such as should be saved. The early church was made up of the Spirit of God and believers. And man, you didn't go to be in that group unless you had something going for you. And you didn't stay in it. You didn't stay in the building. No, sir. And then what happened? The world turned on the church, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And there was great persecution. And they were scattered. That's right, scattered. And then it got scattered all over the place, the persecution. And so the church wasn't very long, 100 AD, thereafter. And Christ really isn't God. And that really, and they had all kinds of different thoughts. And therefore, when you do that, so when they come in, someone comes in and says, well, I really don't believe that. I know you have it in your doctrinal statement, but I really don't believe that. But pretty soon, back then, you couldn't stay because they're all believers. The Spirit of God is full of life. So when you come in and you bring some stupid idea that isn't true, you aren't going to last long. So they went out from among them, verse 19, because they were not of us. They never were saved. They were with us, but they never were saved. They didn't believe. We all believe. We're all enjoying God's saving grace, God in us. But they didn't. But then when they went out, it wasn't very long that we got a whole bunch of people following, and people here, and people there, and we got all kinds of little groups. How did we ever get them? We got them, all kinds of little groups. What's it do? It dilutes. It takes away our enjoyment of the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the mystery of godliness. That God in Christ, the one who was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the one who died on the cross, the one who reigns and rules in our heart. We house him. He finds his home in our heart. Who does? God finds his home in our heart. And you'll remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians and chapter 14. And you'll recall, just to put it together with what we're trying to look at, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together, here we are sitting there, into one place, and all speak with tongues and languages, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers or unbelievers? Will they not say, "You're mad, you're crazy people"? And that's, think of it, back in the transition of the 50s and that Assembly of God coming down the aisle and falling down and all the different things. Touching the forehead and falling down, you know, all that stuff. And they're mad, and that's what you thought. I said, what's going on? Now, but that's they weren't doing that. They were honoring God and his word. Therefore, chapter 14, verse 24. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or is one unlearned, and he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all, he's in your presence, and that's at the early church. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report, give an announcement to his friends that what's the announcement? Underline, you know it. God is in you of a truth. Not Jesus. I received Jesus. God. Because Jesus is God in the flesh. And Antichrist, it has to be strong. That whole movement, materialism, electronic age and artificial intelligence and all this stuff, all of it's what? Leading where? To get us more and more in the dark, to control, to keep us, so that we can look for what? We look for healing and health and future benefit in the system. Because the system is telling us, we'll fix things. We'll help you. We'll fix things. And then the background across the world, they're looking for a man. They need a man to put this together. Not communism. No, they all know. Communism doesn't work. Anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked. Do you understand that that's where it's headed? Because we're looking, we've got to have somebody that can put the pieces together. And that's what we want. So the mystery of lawlessness leads to the lawless one. And while the mystery of godliness, God's people being filled with Christ Jesus, who brings to us all of the magnificence of his death, burial, and resurrection. He brings to us that, and that's what we need to understand. It's an awesome time, and the Antichrist spirit and the evil spirit of the world, the lawless mystery of lawlessness, is very rampant, very alive and well on planet Earth as all of this is taking place. And God, what have we got? Here we are, that loathe us. God in us. Ah. And since God's in us, and you're in God, we're his God out here in the middle of us. His God, we're in his presence. And where are we finding? God, where are you finding us? I'm finding you in Christ Jesus. And when I see him, I find you. And when you see me, said God, in Christ, when you received him as your Savior, you'll find me, said God, in your heart. A mystery. The world says, no, yeah. An awesome time. And the whole system is against it. And we've shared it over many times, you understand. If you went to the average local church where austere people are across the world, you would find it very hard to find many, stay the way, to find many people that believe that the God who is immeasurable, in whose presence you are, finds his home in your heart. God in you the hope of glory. That is, you won't find it, I'll bet you, if you check with believers. Do you really believe it? Well, I don't know. Do you? If you had an atomic bomb in your stomach, you would have to say you're loaded, wouldn't you? And you would have to say, don't mess with me, because if I go off, you're going to disappear, you know. Wouldn't you be pretty confident if you had that for protection? You know, no one's going to touch you, because they can't touch you, they disappear. No, God is in you. God, who holds all the stars, names them by their name, counts all the dust in the balance. You received him as your Savior. Who? God. That's the whole point, said John. I hope you got a little bit. I'm trying to get you to see it. It's an awesome thing. And that's why we got a mess out here across the global continent. We got religion up to here, and we got all kinds of stuff out there. And for the most part, we're less and less believing anything across the world. We just don't believe anything. Our Father and God, thank you for your grace and kindness and help us. And God, it's just us. Help us. Thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for just, Spirit of God, help us understand. It's an awesome thing, God, to be in your presence, always in your presence, God. And thus you tell us, Spirit of God, and you never stop telling us. You'll make sure you remember, God is your Father, saying, Father, but God, my Father, not just my God and Father. My Father, and like Thomas, my Lord and my God. Thank you very, very, very much, God. The reality and awesomeness of it belongs to you, and help us to understand it and enjoy it bit by bit. And we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.